time for What's Up with opposition leader Simon Bridges.
Simon, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, good. Sorry about that. Good to talk to you, Mikey.
Hey, so I thought we'd lost you there for a second, but no, but it's a beautiful day in the town. Whereabouts are you calling us from today?
Oh, look, well, I woke up in Wellington. I'm now in sunny Auckland. Well, slightly sunny, bit of clouds, bit of blue.
A bit of hardcore commuting first hour.
Tell me about it. Good sleep on the plane, though.
Now, a bit of consternation amongst the social side of the community with your comments you made to the AM show on Monday.
Yep.
About the National, when you get in, you're going to reinstate sanctions on beneficiaries. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, look, but basically I think New Zealand is fair-minded people, right? And I think we've got to support people who are at their lowest, who are vulnerable, who can't get work, who have, you know, sickness and all of the things that we sort of know about, right? So there's no argument about that. We've got a safety net. I think it's generous. You know, you always make it more generous, but it's there. My point is simply this, right? If you've got someone who is on the unemployment benefit, or the job seekers benefit, as they call it today, and they can work, actually they should be trying. And where they're not, I think it's a fair go on taxpayers, and actually it's better for them if we can get them into work. You know, there should be reasonable obligations on them and some penalties where they persistently fail to say, nah, get stuffed, we're not doing that.
What sort of numbers are we talking?
Well, look, in terms of what's happened this year, you've had something like 4,000 more go on to benefits. And I believe, you know, that has to be linked to the fact that the Minister of Social Welfare has said, hey, ease up a bit on those sanctions and those penalties. And those sanctions and penalties have come down about 21-22%, I think it is, percent at the moment. So I think there's definitely a relationship there.
So the 21-22% is equates to the 4,000 extras, you think?
I do, yeah. I mean, I think people aren't stupid. I think, you know, people respond to, you know, the system and its rules and a sense of that. Be really clear, though. I'm not talking about some hard-edged draconian system, right? But my
Are you talking about returning it to what it was when you guys were the government?
Yeah, exactly. And we're also talking about the fact that, let's say we've got a young guy, we want to get him into a job, he has to turn up to an interview for the job and or with WINS. Let's say that's the situation. He has to fail, on general, about three times to do that before any sort of penalties will kick in. By the way, if he then says, right, okay, sorry, I should have done it. I had all these circumstances that meant I couldn't do it. You know, this happened and that happened. All he needs to do is re-comply and turn up the next time, and everything's back on. I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think that makes me some hard right winger who's mean and nasty. I think it's, you know, a fair go. It's fair to taxpayers, and actually it's fair to that young guy, because if he gets the job, he will have better esteem, better purpose, and actually all the evidence tends to suggest he'll have better life outcomes.
If you rewind a year ago, before the election,
yep,
and you had a look at the state of the poorest of the poor and the most disadvantaged of the disadvantaged in this country,
yep,
do you think that the attitude that your government had at the time was looking like it was a successful, the sanctions were a successful move? Or do you think? Or do you think maybe that the sanctions, that perception of the disadvantaged and the poor in this country might have been a little bit clouded?
Well, they're always.
I think it's way worse. It's way worse.
Be perceptions, right? And obviously, you're completely entitled to yours. But think about this. Look, from 2011 to last year, 70,000 fewer people were on those benefits, right? And they were getting into work, and the economy was creating a whole lot of jobs that people were going into. And, you know, you're entitled to disagree, but I think you take that young guy, that doesn't need to be a young guy, it can be an older guy, it can be whatever we want it to sort of be, their life will be better if they've got a job, they have better purpose, they have better esteem. But more than that, actually, no one got a pay rise, no one got a promotion if they didn't have a job in the first place. And so, you know,
No one got a pay rise anywhere. No one's got a pay rise for years, no matter what the government's been,
well,
really.
Look, you know, and we've got strikes at the moment. We'll see how those go. Actually, though, you know, and I know people, we had low inflation, right? So they didn't go up massively. But pay rates were going up about double the rate of inflation. People were earning a bit more. Look, of course, I'd love it if they were earning a lot more. You know, we'd all like that. But, you know, to your point earlier, I don't think it was terrible. There's always more we can do. We tried to do a lot of things, you know. We saw that a report out from the Salvation Army, I think it was, this week, about hardship. Actually, you know, look at what we did in some of the areas they touched on. We had free GP visits for under-13s. We insulated 500,000 homes, you know, to help deal with, you know, the cold and some of the issues that are there. But it's a journey. It's never going to be a completed destination. We've got to keep at it. And I think, you know, this government thinks that. I certainly think it as well.
I think though a lot of the citizens worry that the government, no matter who they are, don't have a really clear view of just how bad it is out there for some people. And when you're talking about people that are, you know, whether it's the decline of the mental health system that's put a whole bunch of people out there who aren't capable to look after themselves or have the skill sets to look after themselves, or who are sick or they've been failed by the health system, or who are just disadvantaged just solely through turn of events, that penalties and sanctions don't make life, they don't increase the self-esteem of someone like that. They make life harder. Do you know what I mean? I wonder whether there's another way of doing it other than just... I mean, it's a great vote catcher saying that, you know, that's using the word taxpayers and things. It makes the taxpayers, well, good, then the tax goes to somewhere instead of just going down the drain. But you pay tax because you want the country to work properly. And the country can't work properly if there's a whole bunch of poor people lying around the streets because they've got nowhere to live or anyone to talk to about it.
But a couple of things. Look, I tell you what, I'm genuinely worried about this for this reason. I don't want to see more people on benefits. You know, I just think languishing on the dole queue ain't a great way of life, right? I'm not being critical of people who found.
I don't think there's very many people at this. I find this is one thing I do. And I'm not just arguing with you. I find it so interesting that people think that there are so many people who get on the dole just to go, yeah, boom, that's me, sweet. Not to do anything. It's a suck ass thing to be on the dole.
I agree. But actually, sometimes you've got to have a few nudges there to say, right, you know, we have some expectations on you. We think that you should turn up for this and do that. Because actually, if you do, we think it will be better for the taxpayers, not just a line. That's real, right? And it'll also be better for them. And I'd also just say this to you, Mikey. Look, whether it's a politician in any party, for the most part, you know, I think you can make a lot of criticism of MPs, but I don't think one of them is that we're in ivory towers. You know, I can tell you, in my community, I've seen the wealthiest people, but I've also seen those, you know, sleeping rough, those who live in garages. You know, so, you know, I do have a sense, a very real sense of those hardship issues, and I'm not downplaying them. I just happen to believe, actually, some reasonable obligations on people on the job seekers' benefit is better for them, it's better for the taxpayer, and the reverse will mean more beneficiaries over time languishing, and I don't want that.
And these jobs, the jobs that you're talking about, are they still coming, these jobs? Are there still plenty of jobs out there?
Yeah, there are. I mean, look, we know in New Zealand, and I appreciate there's the training issues that have got to go with it, but there's something like 50,000 construction jobs that we're short over the next 4 or 5 years. We know in horticulture, we know in ICT, in a bunch of areas, there are real job shortages. I do think that picture is changing a bit as, you know, that the economy comes off a bit, as business confidence is down and people are reassessing, you know, whether it's their barbers or their, you know, electricians or whatever it is that their business is. But I do think, you know, there are jobs. If there aren't jobs, be really clear. Well, you know, there won't be the obligations. There's no obligation to go to a non-job, right? And have the interview. But I think some reasonable obligations where there are the jobs, that's fair.
Hey, so you wrapped up a national roadshow this week. How did that go? Because I'm interested to know, because I saw you, I drove past the sign saying you're talking to the Takapuna Golf Club or something like that.
You should have come.
I was going to come. And then I said something to someone apparently, they said, oh, no, I think you're trying to wind them up. And I just wanted to see what it was like. Because I remember when the first time we spoke on the show, I was asking you what, you know, who was the National Party 2018, you know, and so what sort of people turn up to the National Roadshow to meet Simon Bridges when he comes to town?
Look, all comers. I mean, I think the reality is I didn't want it to just be, dyed-in-the-wool National Party supporters. That's boring, right? We want to get a variety of perspectives. We want it to be representative. I think the reality is, in fact, I know this is true. For the most part, you'd say they were people who are more interested in politics than most, and that wasn't just Nats. You know, I know we had card-carrying in New Zealand First Labour Green members there, and who were, can I say, invariably respectful. They had some hard questions that they wanted to put to me and so on, but that was sort of that. But I tell you what, there is also, you know, a lot of older New Zealanders, but a lot of young families. You know, there were young guys who came along in some of the sort of pretty tough situations we've talked about. I can think of, for example, in Te Atatū, a young woman who came along, solo mum, child with autism, talking about those issues. A young Māori guy in Taranaki in the oil and gas fields, thinking about moving to Australia. You know, so it was a very sort of diverse thing. Look, overall, we talked to thousands and thousands of people, and I certainly feel better off for having done it, let's put it that way. I think it's made me a better leader, and I think it helps me sort of get a sense of where New Zealand's at and where we've got to go as the opposition over the next couple of years.
And what do you make of what Winston Peters has said about tobacco?
Look, I think, I'm not really sure what he's trying to achieve with those comments. I mean, I think we'd all sort of agree we want to see less use over time. I'm certainly with him that I think, you know, criminalising or something, which I think he said he doesn't agree with, be a bad idea. You just push it underground.
Yep.
We're all trying to get there and see less. I think the reality is we've got more to do, but we have seen a big culture change. I mean, you and I remember we were of an age where, you know, you went into
stinks.
A bar and it was
stinks.
Filled with smoke. You
stinks.
Know, all of those things.
Yeah.
I was pretty sceptical about that. I thought, oh, I don't want to do that. That's nanny state. I was wrong, actually. That's been a good change that's made a difference.
I mean, here's the thing. Have you ever smoked?
Like, you know, the odd occasion, but have I ever been a regular smoker who's went out and bought cigarettes? No.
When you smoked a cigarette, did you go, oh, I loved that cigarette because of the... Can you fill in that last... This is the thing.
No.
I can't figure out why people do it.
I thought they were awful, and that's probably why I never sort of got back into doing it.
So I wonder why people would fight so hard, apart from the addiction side of it, would fight so hard and for the right to smoke. That's what I don't understand. Yeah.
Well,
if you want to hit yourself in the head with a hammer, by all means, do that. But but really, it shouldn't be state sanctioned. You know, it shouldn't be. We shouldn't say it's okay, man. We really don't want.
I suppose, look, it's the same issues we're going to grapple with cannabis, though, right? It's a question of harm, and I suppose I'm just saying here, look, if you said okay, well, let's criminalise at some level. Let's say no.
I know what you're saying, but I think that's a redundant argument when we just applaud the use of alcohol so much in this country. I think it's ridiculous. Until we actually get our heads around growing up about that, I think the cannabis thing's...
And I hear you. We've got a drinking problem in this country, and there's some cultural issues there that have got to change. Only thing I would say is...
That's also got to change. That's got to change at a government tax... like tax collecting level as well, and you know, it has to change.
Like that, there is this difference.
Stop poisoning ourselves and just stopping, you know.
But you know, the first drink of beer is not bad. In fact, you know, it's good. Whereas the first puff of smoke, right from the start, as we've just been discussing, that's bad, bad, bad. So I do think there's a difference. That's not a reason to say we shouldn't have, you know, policies in place that deal with these things. I reckon it's a cultural issue. I reckon we've got to make sure that our teenagers have a more mature view to alcohol than, you know, I think we have had for decades and decades, and you and I did growing up.
All right. Hey, thank you, Simon. Lovely to talk to you. We'll speak to you again this time next week.
Hey, cheers, man.
Oh, no, the week after. Sorry. All the best.
Look forward to it.
Thanks a lot.
That was What's Up with Opposition Leader Simon Bridges.